Welcome to Warrior Wisdom, a weekly podcast for FBA faculty and staff. This semester, we've been going through 1st and 2nd Timothy, and I was talking with one of the other coaches I work with a few weeks ago about teaching through 1st Timothy, and he called it Paul's pre-game speech to Timothy, getting him fired up, getting him ready to play the game. I'd never heard of that or thought of it that way, but I will say if that's true, then 2nd Timothy, at least the first few chapters, are the halftime speech, and we are losing. Remember, you have been given these as gifts. You have to fan it into flame. Don't let them put it out. You have to guard it. Don't let them take it. And don't have a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. And chapter 2 picks up right with these ideas that chapter 1 left us off with. It starts with be strengthened. Then it moves straight into share in the suffering. Endure everything. Do your best. So let's read 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 10, or actually 3, 1 through 10, sorry. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 10. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It's the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. We have been discussing calling all semester, at All School Chapels, on the podcast, and we've celebrated the hope and joy that come with being called. It's refreshing, it's encouraging to be reminded and to hear that God has created each of us on purpose, and God has created each of us with a purpose. Or as we said in chapel this week, it's encouraging to know I am exactly who God wants me to be. I am exactly how God wants me to be. But the truth is, we will need strength for the journey because it will be hard. Paul tells Timothy here to require you to have the single-mindedness of a soldier. We have to stay on task. We have to say no to not only the bad things, but we have to say no to many, many good things so we have room to say yes to the God things, the single-mindedness of a soldier, the persistent, the grit of an athlete. In our huddle at the end of every practice or at the last practice of every week before they go off before the night for the game, our head coach says, every decision you make matters because you live a different life from your friends because you have different goals. We have different goals. We have to keep going. We have to have that persistence or grit of an athlete. And then third, it's the hard work of the farmer, right? The saying is there's no sick days for the farmer. Keep stacking days because consistency matters. It's the hard work of the farmer. So the single-mindedness of a soldier, the persistence of an athlete, the hard work of the farmer. But most of all, Paul starts off with what we need is this simply to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Psalm 94. I'm going to read a selection of verses from there. Verse 17, if the Lord had not been my help, my soul would have soon lived in the land of silence. Have you ever felt that? Verse 19, when the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. Verse 22, but the Lord has become my stronghold and my God, the rock of my refuge. We need to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Yes, we need to have single-mindedness. Yes, we need to be persistent. Yes, we need to work hard. But most of all, it requires the strengthening of the grace that God has given us in Christ Jesus. Because, and Paul says it here twice, following Christ will bring suffering. And surely Paul knew what that meant. He tells us in 2 Corinthians 11, Are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 and a day I was adrift at sea, frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from these, and apart from other things, there's the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Suffering will come. Suffering is part of this journey of being called. There are 2 ways, just for me, that have helped me categorize and sort of think about and discuss suffering. First, Greg Mott, pastor at Houston's First, if you happen to go there, he talks about it this way. There's correcting trials. When we are off path, and need to be put back on, right? And then there's perfecting trials. When we are on path, but face headwinds, face challenges. While we lived in North Carolina, J.D. Greer, pastor of the Summit Church, that's where we went, he talked about it this way, and you'll be able to tell he's a good Baptist preacher, because not only is it 3 points, they are alliterated. He talks about suffering this way. There's Jonah, suffering for doing wrong. There's Joseph, suffering for doing right. And there's Job, suffering for no earthly reason. So when suffering comes, as it is going to come, right? Not to be Job's friend, but it is fair to ask, is it me? Have I done something? Did I put myself here? If the answer is yes, ask what? If the answer is yes, ask why? If the answer is yes, ask what do I need to correct, and then repent and quit. Right, that's how we turn around in those moments. If it is suffering for doing wrong, if it is Jonah, if it is a correcting trial, repent and quit. But what about when it isn't us? How do we endure suffering for doing right? How do we endure suffering for no apparent reason? And Paul gives Timothy 3 pieces of advice here for him to endure the suffering, to share in the suffering that is going to come from his calling. And first one is this, 2 Timothy 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Cling to the power of the resurrection. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Verses 11 and 12 says, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure with him, we will also reign with him. Elsewhere, Paul wrote, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And then there's a song that comes to mind. It just, Friday's good because Sunday is coming. Don't lose hope because Sunday is coming. Devil, you're done. You better start running. Friday is good because Sunday is coming. We endure Friday by remembering that Sunday is coming. We endure Friday because we know Jesus Christ risen from the dead. And if we died with him in salvation, we will live with him in newness of life and in new and in the resurrection. First thing to do and to endure suffering for doing right or for no apparent reason is to cling to the power of the resurrection. The second thing he tells him, second thing Paul tells Timothy, verse 9, my gospel for which I am suffering bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. We cling to the power of the resurrection. And we cling to the power of God's word. Joshua 23:14. And now I'm about to go the way of all the earth, and you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass, not one has failed. Lamentations 2:17 says this: the Lord has done what he purposed. He has carried out his word, which he commanded long ago. In Philippians 1:6, I am sure this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. There's a song again that just says, my Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. When we are in suffering for doing right, when we are in suffering for no apparent reason, we can remember the power of God's word. We can remember that all his promises come true, that all his desires come true, that his plans will not be thwarted, that he will fulfill his promises, his calling, if we want to put it that, on our life. We may not be able to see it now, but he has a plan, and his plan will be fulfilled. So as we endure this suffering, cling to the power of the resurrection. Cling to the power of God's word. And then the third part is simply endure everything. Endure everything. 1 Peter 4 just says it like this: therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Keep going. Endure the suffering. Keep doing good. Or to go back to what I said at the beginning, it's halftime of the game. I don't care what the score is. We still got to have to play. Endure everything. Don't ever give up. Let's pray. God, thank you that you have a plan for life. Thank you that that plan included you sending your son to offer us salvation so that we can be strengthened by the grace that comes through Christ Jesus. Lord, help us to cling to the power of your resurrection as we suffer. Help us to cling to the power of your word as we go through suffering, and help us to just endure everything, knowing that you have a plan and that you have already overcome the world. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.